All right. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all these wonderful people that are in here on this fellowship. We just praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit working in our lives, Lord. I just praise you for all the things that we're fixing to see. And I thank you, Father, for your signs and your wonders be operating and your gifts be operating in this fellowship tonight. And I believe it, Lord, that you're bringing our hearts in one accord and they're going to shake the very foundation of this fellowship. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for this fellowship in us, Lord. And I know that each and every one of us have the power of the Almighty God behind us. And when we speak from the Spirit's leading, Lord, things change. And we praise you for it, Father. I glorify you for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. You've given us that humble and loving heart, Lord, that Jesus had. Merciful and gracious heart that Jesus had. And we're walking, talking little Jesus. It's not little so much anymore because we're maturing in you, Lord. Because you're the one that's done it. We're allowing you to do your work in us, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the power of this group right here. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight is the night that your glory would fall upon us, Lord, and would empower us to know and to do the things that you have for us, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you for your healings, your deliverances, and your words, Lord, your mighty words. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing and going to do. In Jesus' name, we know that we can look in that mirror, Lord, that spiritual mirror, and claim that we see Jesus and walk out the door knowing that we're full of Jesus and not any self. And we praise you, Father, for placing that in each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us in Jesus' name. And what's going to happen tonight? In the name of Jesus. Y'all better believe that. Glory to God. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us up with your mighty Holy Spirit. So much so that there ain't nothing left but you, Lord. That we're gone, you're there. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My Lord and my God. I am so pumped up. Okay. And y'all going to be once I show you this little clip, but I ain't going to show it right now. We'll show it in a minute. Prayer requests. Where's Greg? Oh, there he is. Okay, I see. Amen. Anybody got a prayer request? Don't miss out. Yeah, I sure can. Okay. All right. Praise God forevermore. Ooh, how about a testimony and a praise report? Somebody needs to get saved in this fellowship. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Michael?
Yes, Michael? Sir. Go ahead.
I'll give a report. My daughter is doing so much better.
Awesome.
She still battles with the demons that were bothering her husband, but she's learning from it. She's learning, and yet she's been going to these, there's a place, it's charismatic. They cast out demons, they lay hands on the sick, they do all that stuff, you know, and they're in the word. So she is going to a place, just started going to the place, and they came in, and this one lady, she says, I could see it all around you. You're battling oppression. And she prayed for her, and she prayed against fear too. And another lady, another meeting, the meeting night before, she went to talked with Willie, and she looked at him. She says, you are a patient man. And he didn't know how to take that because he's kind of quiet and shy. You know, he doesn't say too much to people, but he has been. I've seen him. He's been patient. But so I kind of feel good where they're going, you know. But I said, Lord, if that's not where you want them to go, then take them out of there. But it's helping them to get some strength, being able to talk to other people and be able to pray with other people. So I thank the Lord for that. And I pray, Father God, that you just keep them there if you want them to be there, and help them to learn more of you and what you're doing, and help them to see more in your word and the ways, things of the spiritual way, in a spiritual way. And she says, keep praying for me.
Amen.
Because not only is she fighting those demons that were bothering her husband, she's fighting the demons that have always been around her for years. You know, it's the generational curses. One of them has been rejection from what I had had. And she said she has battled fear ever since she was a little child. And that's what she's been battling a lot lately too, in the midst of all the others. So Lord, I thank you, Father, that you're showing her what she needs to learn and bringing her to where she needs to be in you, in Jesus' name. And Willie too.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What's her name?
What's her name?
Tanya. Tanya.
Let's pray for her.
Amen.
Father, I lift up Tanya to you. She's battled with fear, rejection, and all of that all of her life. But you've given us the authority, the power and the authority over all of the enemy. In the name of Jesus right now.
Amen.
I command that fear to go from her. Every one of you, go. Take all your little buddies with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command that spirit of rejection off of her to go in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of the fear of rejection to go in the name of Jesus. I command anxiety off of her to go right now in the name of Jesus. Depression, you go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I thank you, Father, that she is free. And that when Sue calls her, she's going to say, we prayed for you and you're free of all of that stuff. And she's going to, you just tell her to praise, because she is. She's free of it right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you,
free
Jesus.
From all of that. Glory to God.
Thank you for what you're showing her. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
she
Lord.
She is free. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Barry. Marilyn, whichever one it was.
I think you guys need prayer up there. I looked at your forecast. Looks like it's going to be 27 degrees tonight.
We rebuke that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. So while we pray that you keep
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you what happened, Mary. This is so cool. Me and David. Now, I didn't know that he was praying, but I was praying upstairs, up here in my room. And I prayed this prayer, and I said, Lord, I got a garden out there. We got a garden. We've got flowers out there planted. We got pretty little flowers out there planted. We got trees that we want to stay like they are. And I ask that you just pass this frost away from us. No cold is going to bother our garden. This morning, during our prayer meeting, somebody, I forget who it was, said, well, they had frost down there in the valley, because I went out first thing this morning to check and see if there was any frost in the ground. Wasn't a bit of it. Everything was just it was just awesome. And we're 1,200 feet above them, you know, and it was awesome. It was awesome. So they got it. We didn't, because we prayed. And I'm sure that everybody that prayed still got their garden going. So praise God.
Yeah, praise some more for tonight, because it's showing 27 degrees for tonight too. So
for here?
Yeah.
For here?
Yep.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray that you preserve all of our gardens. You preserve every Gaynor's too, if she's got anything planted. I ask, Lord, that you just preserve all of our gardens in this fellowship. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have big old tomatoes. We're going to have lots of beans. We're going to have lots of jalapeno peppers. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And everything's going to be cool, warm, hot, I mean. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be preserved. Watch and see. All right. Thank you, Barry. I didn't know it's going to get that cold tonight because it's supposed to be up, way up in the high 70s tomorrow, or 60s tomorrow. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Frost Passover. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of weird things happened to me this week during work, and I'm assuming it was the enemy, because when I finally took it to the Lord, it's like, whoa, this is going beyond normal. He gave me a passage today. It said, I send my messengers before your face and will prepare the way before you. That was Matthew 11:10, because I think it was Tuesday I came into work, and the first thing they said was, there's a small office down in our mechanical room, and that's on the third basement, that's in the basement area where all the boilers are at. They have a couple of network connections there, and they were down, and they first thing they wanted to give it to me to go check out. But we have a couple, we have a system here where we have the administrative land and we have the mail processing land. I take care of all the mail processing land stuff. I can take care of the administrative stuff too, but I kind of shy away from it if it goes into a couple of problems at one time. And then I heard the administrators, the land people on the admin side have been playing with that. And I thought, no, I'm just going to turn it over to them. And I started what we had to call is start a ticket and then national, and then they give it back to these guys locally and they'll take care of it. But I had to do all that stuff. And so the next day I came in and I looked, checked real quick to make sure their stuff was up, because I can check. And I seen it was up. And I said, and I seen one of the guys that was in the mech room, one of the guys that worked on it, said, hey, I see your network's up again. He says, yeah, it went up, you know, and there's a guy named Terrence that was an administrator, one of the land guys, the admin line. He was going to go down there and check on it that morning when he got the ticket. And it says, oh, it's already up. And I thought, and he said, that's strange. I says, yeah, it is strange. I says, I'm surprised it was up like that. He says, well, I'd like to know what the problem was. I says, well, I don't know either. But it's interesting that I had two problems at once, and they went away within an hour or two. And, you know, it's not like he had to shut anything down. I said, okay, fine. Well, that very day, that very evening, then that was Tuesday that happened, that when they gave it to me on Wednesday, Tuesday. So I came in Wednesday, which was yesterday. Worked the whole day, and then I had what was called my end of the tour. The last couple hours I had to pick up all the calls on machines. We share that if we don't have it all day, that way we can get a chance to get things done, not be burdened with being pulled away from my work all day. So anyways, I was at the end of the tour and I was getting the calls, and out of nowhere I got a call right by 15 minutes before I'm supposed to get off the clock. I get called to a machine that had an e-stop problem. They put e-stops on when I want to stop the machine, make sure it's safe. And it wouldn't go off, right? They took the e-stop off, it wouldn't go away. And that's, we see that often. Sometimes it's the switches are getting funny or whatever, and we start playing with them stuff. But this one wouldn't go away. And I thought, what is wrong with this? And I started looking it over. Pretty soon I'm into this thing, like 40 minutes trying to look this over, and I'm replacing what's called slices. There are parts of the switch you can replace that might be a part of the switch that's a problem, a contact problem. I'm not seeing it, seeing what's going on, checking my voltages, and it's giving me weird indications like, this doesn't really look good. What's going on here? Like, what is the problem? Maybe I got a board problem on the machine. It's just acting kind of crazy. And I started, just a heck of it, looking at the wiring. I think, oh, the wires are different on this one compared to the other. Why is that? Why is this thing wired different? So I changed it back, and my e-stop condition went away, but I still had a main e-stop problem, which meant there was something else still in the e-stop line. And I started playing with that and had get a little more involved in the system and checking a board to figure out where it was all at, and found another switch that was a problem, took care of that. Finally, after about an hour, a little over an hour, I'd got this thing fixed, but it was like, you never usually have to go through that kind of a problem. Man, that was just, you know, that, of course, that took me on beyond my tour, and I'm staying late. I just really had to work hard for that one. And I came home and I thought, man, there's 2 days in a row of just weird stuff like this happening. And this e-stop, it was wired funny. It didn't act funny. It acted like everything's normal until they hit the e-stop. And then it was saying, oh, I'm out to lunch. I don't like what I'm seeing. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to let you start the machine. Otherwise, it ran all day like that with it wired up wrong until they used it. And that was what kind of, you know, struck me as odd too. It was like, why did that work all day when it wasn't wired right? And then once they used it, it decided I'm going to hold the whole system down. So I'm going, Lord, about this, wondering, where is this weirdness coming from? And like, you know, and that's when he gave me that this morning that I sent a message for you, prepare the way before you. I'm thinking I'm having these weird witchcraft attacks that are just meant for me. You know, everybody else is going by just smooth through the day, but it comes right to my plate when it's time to come on. So the Lord kind of, I gave him glory for going before me today and taking out my enemy for me, fight for me, you know, getting this this witchcraft going on around me and taking care of it. But thank you, Lord. Just want to give you the glory for that and let you know that he answers prayer. And that doesn't mean we're not going to have trials, but he wants to be our Savior. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for help in the workplace. Thank you, Father. Amen. You're excused, Missy. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yep. Go ahead, Geneva.
All right. Hey, everybody. I want to, I have a prayer request for my grandma. I call her Nene. We're all hanging out together, and her and my mom kind of got into a fight today, and I won't get into the specifics of what it was about, but basically the root of the matter is unforgiveness, and kind of with a lot of my family members over one specific instance. And so I just kind of want to say a prayer about that. And tomorrow is my mom's birthday, and it seems like my Nini's not going to like talk to her. And she kind of even said that she's not going to go to like one of my, an event that's coming up that's important for me. And so anyways, I kind of just want to lift her up and ask that the Lord gives her understanding and also forgiveness. And so I'm just going to say a prayer. Lord, thank you, God, for being with my Nene right now, Lord, and softening her heart, Jesus, and opening up her eyes, Lord, and her just her ears to you, God. I claim right now, Lord, that she understands, Lord, the forgiveness that that you've given her, Lord, and that and that we're called to forgive others, Lord. And so I thank you, God, for mending the relationship with my Nene and my mom and my uncle, Lord, and just taking care of them right now, Lord, softening all of their hearts, Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that our hearts are softened tomorrow, Lord, so that my Nene and my mom talk to each other, Lord, so that they don't look back, Lord, and have bitterness for not talking on a birthday, Jesus. And I just lift them all up to you and your name, Lord, and that you get all the glory, Lord, for this, Lord, and that thank you for helping me realize, Lord, how important forgiveness is, Jesus, and casting down any bitterness or any thought, Lord, that is contrary to that, Jesus. So I just thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, and I thank you for the report tomorrow that we're going to see my Nene and talk to her, and everything's going to be forgiven, Lord. So I thank you for all things, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Hey, Marissa, is your Mimi and your mom, is everyone, are they believers? Are they Christians?
So they're out of my whole family. I kind of was thank you, Lord, but he brought me in first, and through the Lord, I've been able to kind of show them a little bit like more about God. So they're kind of like new, like baby believers.
Okay. All right. Can I pray something? Okay. Well, Father, thank you, Lord, for Marissa's, Mimi and her mom, Lord, and you know the situation, you know all the details. And I just pray, God, that you would bring a conviction to their hearts of how childish they are behaving towards one another. And they will just see through all this, and you just melt all of this hardness, Lord, and help them to see what's really important there. And you know how to do that. And I just join my faith with Marissa and her prayer as you work out all the details, Lord. You know how to get to the root, and you can do a quick work, Lord. And we pray for that, an overnight thing, even a dream, Lord. And I know you're able. So I thank you. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that's already done. I thank you, Lord, for the good report. We're going to hear about it. Amen.
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 Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I'll pray too. Father, thank you for bringing household salvation. And no matter where our family members are at, we're still going to believe for them. And right now, Father, we're believing that you're going to send the Holy Spirit upon them to be around them, to start to work on their hearts, to soften their hearts, to break up that fallow ground, to cause repentance to come in, Father, so they can receive you and your ways, your precepts, your laws, the way you like people to live. Father, open up their hearts to receive what it is you have for them in your kingdom. We want to bring them into your kingdom, Father, and to do this, we know there requires change. So, Father, grant them repentance so they can do this. Give them your spirit of repentance. Give them your spirit of knowledge and wisdom and truth about who you are and what you like and what you don't like, so that they have the fear of God on them, and so they start to walk in your ways. Thank you, Father, answering our prayer in this. Amen.
Yeah, I want to pray too if I can. All right. In the name of Jesus, I bind up unforgiveness and faction in that family, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just believe what everybody else has prayed is happening, even right now, in Jesus' name. Mimi, you come into the kingdom of God in a mighty way with love in your heart. Mom, you come into the kingdom of God with love in your heart, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father. We're going to have a happy, lovely, Jesus-loving family. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Marissa and her family in Jesus' name. It's done. It is done. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Whew. Okay. All right. Anybody else? I have at my disposal a great and wonderful gift that I'm going to let y'all see. Now, you people in South Africa, this is from Reinhard Bonnke, like to broke the web when he gave this information. Y'all know who Reinhard was, don't you? He was a big time evangelist in South Africa in years past. In my, you know, I don't know. I think he's died, but I'm not sure. But he was a big time evangelist. German guy. Yeah, but he was in South Africa. Okay. I'm going to let y'all listen to what happened, because here's just listen. I'll just, then we'll go over it. This is Reinhard Bonnke.
I've been for 40 years in Africa. Africa is my very favorite continent. What I have seen God do in Nigeria defies all description. So mighty, so glorious, so fantastic. And when I was a young evangelists there. I was just about 30 or 31 years of age. I was in the northern, what they then called in those days, the Northern Transvaal of South Africa. I had a crusade there. It was a small crowd. There were only 8,000 people. And it was on an open field, the elephant grass. You know what elephant grass is? It's as tall as an elephant. We had our open space, but then there was no road or nothing. I had to drive my car through that elephant grass to arrive. I just had preached. I just had led a few thousand people to the Lord. We saw mighty miracles of God. I still wanted to be alone a little bit. And I all had gone and I was there. The generator was still running. I switched it off. It was a pitch black night. No star in the sky. No moon, no nothing. I could hardly see where my car was. I saw it then and I got in, switched the lights on and drove away through that high grass. Suddenly, there was a young man in front of me and he flagged me down. I stopped the car, I pulled the window down. I said to him, is there something wrong?
Start your day with all the support you need in Skechers ArchFit sandals. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists using over 20 years of data to create a sandal that provides foot and arch support for all-day comfort. Podiatrist-certified arch support for men and women.
Wrong. He came and said, no, there's nothing wrong. But I knew you would pass here. I found Jesus as my Savior in this crusade. And I knew you would come past here and that I would meet you here because I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I said, what is your name? He said, my name is David. I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 17 years of age. Touched me so much. I got out of the car, let all the lights on that I could see was what I was doing. Laid my hands on him, and the moment it was as if lightning struck him. That was electricity. He was bending backwards, forwards, and burst out in new tongues, and it was absolutely wonderful. Something I had witnessed already so often. He said, thank you very much. I'm now going to my home village. And I went to the home where the people with whom I was staying. Now here's the point. 4 weeks later, back at home, I hear people say there is a revival in Northern Transvaal. I say, who's the preacher? They said, you will not believe it, but it's just a boy. Mighty miracles are happening through that boy.
In heaven, this little girl came up to me. She told me she died in your tummy.
I said, what's his name? They said his name is David. I was preaching in another area. Then I already had a trailer, and this time I also had a tent. A tent that could hold 10,000 people. And one afternoon there was a knock on my door. I opened. He said to me, sir, do you remember me? I'm David. I said, yes, I remember you very well. He said, I've come to tell you what happened when I left you that night. He said, early in the morning at the crack of day, of dawn, he said, I approached my home village, and then I saw a mother, that is a very polite word, courtesy among the Africans there. A mother came towards me, and she carried her child, and the child was crying, wailing, whimpering. He said, I knew that mother, and I knew the week before she had lost her first child to a fever. Now the second child was just as feverish. He said, I saw her. And he said, suddenly the love of God gripped me. And although by our custom I could not have spoken with her, I approached her and I said, Mother, can I pray for your child? And she said, anything? Yes, of course. He said, I prayed for that child. Immediately, the child stopped crying.
Everyone has a story.
All young women.
And said, I'm hungry, Mom. I'm hungry. That kid was totally healed. The mother was so happy. She ran to the chief and said, Chief, you know how I buried my first child. My second was just about to die when David prayed for my child, and he is now completely well. The chief said, what? I have a daughter who's very sick. She was born a cripple. I have seen the best doctors in South Africa, and nobody was able to help her. Call David to pray for my daughter. He said he was called and went to that chief house. And the chief said to him, there in that hut is my daughter. She's never walked. Go in that hut and pray for her, that your Jesus will heal my daughter. He said, I went into that hut, and when my eyes got used to the darkness, I saw the girl. He said she had twisted legs, completely twisted like spaghetti, you know. And there she was. He said, I spoke to her about Jesus. I laid hands on her, and when I started to pray, suddenly, he said, we heard cracking noises. He said, and suddenly we realized the bones were straightening. He said, the chief waited outside, and his daughter walked out. He said, for the first time in her life, she walked. And the chief was screaming. Everybody was screaming. And the chief said, David, for the next 10 days, you are going to preach here to all my people. You know, in Africa, when the chief speaks, you better obey. And people came from all over. He said they came from all over. And I preached every day for 10 days. I said, David, You told me you just got saved in my meeting. What on earth did you preach? He said to me, Muruti, I preached every sermon of yours. I said, hallelujah. Then you have preached the gospel. People got saved. Pastors moved in, baptized those people in water. This is what God can do. Clear the decks. God has something great for you in mind. Open the window and shoot in Jesus' name.
Woohoo! Glory to God, glory to God. Somebody go, somebody give me somebody that's crippled. I want to just lay hands on them. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You see what happens when you believe. When you believe, that boy, he had faith. God gave it to him. And we all have the same faith that that young man had. And just like he said, you can take that and preach the gospel. You saw Reinhardt when he came to America, came to our church, and I went to watch him preach. Yeah, he was a good preacher. I didn't know a whole lot about him at the time, but I knew he had a great evangelistic crusade over in Africa many times. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Ain't nobody smiling. Come on now. What is going on with y'all? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
That was awesome. How many years ago was that approximately that he did that happen?
I don't
know. Anyone know?
I don't know. Yeah, I was too, Angelica.
Yeah, me too. That was very moving. You know, when you hear something like that for the first time.
Believe that for Isaiah. Yeah, sign us all up. Praise God. Yeah, Jude.
No, this is really great. Thanks for sharing that.
I'll say June.
Excuse me. Got a few Judy, Julie. June. I'll shut up.
I also want to thank you, Michael. Expecting to share what I'm going to.
Your audio can't hardly understand you, Jean. You need to get closer to the microphone. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I was saying I wasn't planning to share this tonight, but Michael, what you put on just spoke to my heart. So I'm making an assumption here that the Lord wants me to share this tonight. Our youngest son, who's now 33, had come into my husband and my bedroom when he was, gosh, what was the year? I'm trying to think how old he was. I wrote it down somewhere. No, he was older. I think he was about 12, but it's in my drawer. I wrote it down when he did it. And I had been reading my Bible, and he came to me and he said, Mom, I want to receive the Lord. And I said, okay. I said, but he added on, this is the part. He says, but I don't want to say it in public. And I said, John, are you sure you want to do it now? This might not be the time you should. He goes, no, Mom, I want to. And he actually kneeled down by my bed and he received the Lord. Well, apparently he got confused about who the Lord really is. He was being made fun of at the time because of his weight, and other things occurred where he had a heart for people and he saw how they were being ridiculed. John, our son, has a very tender heart, but it got to a point where he didn't even believe in God anymore, supposedly. And even with that attitude, he's always been a precious son. He's lovable. But by the year 2016, he came down with what is being considered an autoimmune disease. And it's like, I believe it's the Lord trying to get his attention, because it seems like everything affects him, what he eats. And he has a condition where he walks into a room and nobody can detect any kind of mold, and he can, and things start affecting him. You could see his eyes, different things that you can see. He's getting a bad reaction to whatever nobody else sees, nobody else smells. It's just really bizarre. So I've been telling my husband, the Lord's trying to get his attention. My husband, having his tender heart, brought him to integrative doctors. They don't do the regular medicine type thing, but they try to bring health to your body in a natural way. Well, it hasn't helped him per se, at least not enough. And my heart cry to the Lord has been, Lord, I know you can touch him in a moment and do that miracle for him, but it's most important that he recognizes that it's you, Lord. It's that you have done this for him, not a doctor, no man. And so the bottom line is, last night in desperation, I prayed to the Lord and I asked him to give me a revelation, or my husband or our son, as to what he wants from us, what he expects us to do to make our son whole, mind, body, and soul. Oh, by the way, our son is so slim now, it isn't funny. But I want to pray for our son. I want him healed and bring glory to God. I don't want to be through man unless the Lord, for some reason, has him get healed through a doctor's advice or whatever. But I don't expect that's the case. So I would so appreciate if all of you would pray for our son so he receives that miracle and for the rest of his life will serve the Lord.
What's his name?
John.
Now, how old is he now?
33. He's married. He loves his wife. He loves his children. He has a 3.5-year-old son that is adorable. And a newborn. She was born March 5th.
Okay. All right. Lord, we lift up John to you. He's lost faith. But Lord, you can place it back in him. I ask, Father, right now that you move on John's heart to receive you again and to repent, come back into the kingdom. And when he does, Lord, when he does, I thank you, Lord, that your healing power will flow through his body in one fell swoop, clean it of all the spirits of infirmity that he has collected. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Satan, I'm putting you on notice. You can't have him. I bind up and break all of your activities upon John right now. I break your power over him in Jesus' name. And I declare and decree that John is into the kingdom, healed, delivered, and set free by the power and blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father. I thank you so much for doing this for John and his family. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing right now in John's heart. And Lord, I ask that you place it in Ray and June to not go by what their natural eyes tell them, but what the Word of God says. And that when we pray and when we believe what we pray, we shall have it. That's what the Word says in Mark 11:24. And glory to God, I believe that John is already into the kingdom. And I just want everybody to look and see that John is jumping up with joy for the glory and the grace that God has shown him. in Jesus' name. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now in John's life. We praise you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Because we believe, Lord, that you're doing this mighty work right now in Jesus' name. Does anybody believe that with me?
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, for this absolute miracle in John's life.
Yeah.
And Ray and Jean is praising God right now for this mighty miracle in Jesus' name. And don't quit praising him because it's being done.
Yes.
It is being done even as we speak. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I know it's done. Amen. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Missy.
Father, I pray that you give him a revelation, Lord. That, Lord, there's things that happen to him and people coming against him and persecuting him. That it was Jesus in him. I just rebuke that spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, you said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you, Lord. And show him, Lord, give him a revelation that people were seeing Jesus in him. And that's a good thing.
Amen.
Lord, put forgiveness in his heart for all these people that persecuted him, Lord. Give him such a revelation, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Of that, Lord.
God,
put forgiveness in his heart, Lord. And revelation too, Lord, that he needs to forgive if he wants to be forgiven, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to add on to that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for John. I thank you for his life. I thank you, Lord, that you drew him at that time when he was young. And Father, you see his heart and you see where it's been hurt and wounded. And we just bind up all the hurt and the wounds that have been that have affected him, Lord, and his thinking and even how he thinks about himself and all the hate that came towards him and how he viewed himself. And we just command those spirits of self-rejection and self-bitterness and self-unforgiveness to go as well in Jesus' name. With all the fear of man, you have to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you give him the grace to see in time, Lord, that who he is in Christ Jesus, and he needs to let go of everything of his past that he thought he was or what other people thought of him. And that you give him a revelation of how much you love him and how valued he is in your kingdom, in your eyes. And we thank you, Lord, for drawing this man back to you, Lord, in a powerful way. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. And I pray also, Lord, you just give June and Ray, you give them comfort and peace. As they rest in you and just trust you to do the work. And they don't have to worry about any of this. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises. 33 means promise. And we stand on all your promises for household salvation, Father. And his life is yours. And we thank you, Lord. We claim it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Lord of God, going to be a change coming. Amen. Yeah, Dave.
I just want to pray that, Lord, you send somebody in John's life that is spirit-filled, that knows how to minister to John, that can see what it is he needs to be ministered to with, that he can hear your words, that he can break down these walls that he's put up, and that he will receive what you want this man or to say to him, to bring him to you, and that he also, even though we've bind all these ailments and these infirmities that are on him in the name of Jesus, that you allow this person to actually touch him and see the power of God go through him and heal him, so that it brings him down in humility, it breaks his heart, And he realizes all this time it was just rebellion against God. And now he's being called back to the kingdom and he repents. Thank you, Father, for doing this. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
Just one more thing. Just bind and cast down all the lies and deception that the enemy is polluted and perverted in John's understanding of your word, Father. And we all come to you as children, and the enemy just steals the seed. So we thank you, Lord, for restoring everything that the enemy has stolen for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's the link to the Reinhardt Bonnke film clip. YouTube. In the chat. For those of you who want it. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's done. John, you come on into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not accepting nothing but yes. Amen. Yes, Dave.
Just a reminder, God saves sinners, right? He actually, that's his business. He comes after the sinners. Those are the ones that realize, oh, I needed God all the time in my life. So this is not a mistake.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
I just wanted to pray too. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for John, for the way you led him, hard as it is for those his parents and those around him. But I thank you for that you have been there this whole time, and that from the foundation of the earth, of the world, you have made all these arrangements. It's already a done deal. We're just proclaiming what you've already done. We just thank you that you've done it. And also, I want to pray that that you will make him full and complete in you, and that he becomes a firm disciple of yours, gets discipled by your people, and becomes strong and mature quickly in you, and you will use him mightily for those around him to wreak havoc on Satan's kingdom and to build your kingdom. And I thank you for what you're doing, and Jesus, you offer the whole package, soteria, the whole thing. Everything supplied for John. You're his everything, Lord, and I thank you for doing that, making him fully aware of that. Give him, I pray, dreams, visions. Let him be baptized in your spirit and walk in the gifts. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord. It's done, girl. It's done. John's coming in. Don't accept nothing less. And not only is he's coming in healed and delivered. Amen. Did you have, go ahead and say something if you got something to say. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just want to thank all of you. It means the world to us. Thank you so much. Because we do know, without a doubt, God's word is true. And it's just wonderful to have this fellowship and have you pray for our son. Thank you.
Amen. Yep. We got to open heaven. Amen.
Benita had her hand up.
Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
I was just saying hi. Sorry I'm late.
Hey, what's up, girl? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to say something to Angelica. When I watched this afternoon, the whole time that when he brought up the 17-year-old boy, I thought of Isaiah the whole time. I believe that boy is going to be a mighty man of God. We just have to believe, and I'm believing. That's all it takes.
I was thinking of him, and I was just kind of crying really hard, but I think it was more of the spirit that's been really hurt and just, you know, just releasing that hurt and what, you know, just the whole situation, just almost like the sister situation, you know. But thank you, Father, for completing the good work that you started in Isaiah, Lord. I glorify you, Father. And Lord, I also come before you for myself, Lord God. I pray that you just work in me, Father God, like just like that young man, Father God, pour in me a love, Father God, like I've never known before, Lord God. Undo the hardness of my heart and just undo the unbelief, Father God, that remains, Father God, and just fill my heart with your love and give me the grace and give us all the grace, Father God, to love our children, Lord God, and to be led of you, Father God. And I just bless you and I thank you, Father, that you chose us in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sometimes when we're brought up in a rough way, that's all we know, you know, until God comes in our heart. And when God comes in our heart, he's the only one that can change us in a way. It's a lot of times we do things by repetition. We see mama do it or we see daddy do it, and that's the way we do it, you know. But there's a better way. And that better way is Jesus's way. And to show people and our children a soft, graceful love is worth more than money can buy. And when you couple that with Jesus's love, that works miracles in their life. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon us and our family. And make us like you, Lord. Let us walk, talk, act just like you, Lord, because you were merciful. You were graceful, gracious in all of your actions. And that's the way we should be. Amen. Everybody agree? If you don't, get saved. That's all I'm saying. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. What are we going to talk about now? Anybody got a question or got something they want to go over? Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was just going to say, Michael, I listened to your message yesterday, last night, while I was doing dishes and whatnot. I listened to it a couple times, at least, and I got so pumped up. I don't know if you recorded it yesterday or not, but I was just grooving on it. But, I mean, it's just I have, you know, some friends that you know, they'll quote Jesus where he said that now you need to take up the spear, and you know they misquote that text, take it out of context, and you know, Luke 22. But
amen.
I don't know, I'm just praying for all these people, and it just prompted me to get in touch with one of them and to kind of go over, you know, these things of whether we defend ourselves and whatnot. So anyway, I just, this whole thing of dying and, you know, just going to our cross, and it's so freeing, and it takes the pressure off people who feel like they have to do this and do that. And we got to cover our bases and, you know, all these things. You know, have drones along our highway, I mean, our driveway, cameras in every direction, infrared, you know, and all kinds of night vision stuff. And come on, I'm exaggerating. But anyway, so the Lord's got angels. Amazing. I guess that was kind of a new revelation for some of us. He actually has, he can do things. He's in charge. He's sovereign. Anyway, I loved it, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. By the way, I meant to send some angels out too, Ray and June. Lord, I just ask that you send your angels out there to minister to John and his family right now in Jesus' name, Lord. I know you're going to do it too. We have three angels here that we know of. I got Barry, who stands right outside my door. And then Jerry L. This one's name is Baruch, and the other one's name is Jerry L. And the one downstairs, I can't ever remember his name because I keep forgetting about him. But I call this one, that one over there. This one's Barry, and that's Jerry. And I can't remember the other guy's name. Eve sees him all the time. I wish he'd show him to me. But I know what he's here for. He's here to answer our prayers, get our prayers, and go out and do whatever we want him to do, you know. Elroy. No, it ain't Elroy.
You know, Elroy. Michael, I'm really...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I just really got... I was going to say pumped up, but when I was watching it, I was crying. But this family down in L.A., I was looking at Torben's... You posted a little talk he had with his family, husband and wife and son and daughter, who were really nominal Christians. They were kind of into drinking and they were doing all the church stuff and everything, but then the Lord got a hold of their family and they're all working as a unit, and the Lord told them to move out to Montana. He's got a thriving business there in L.A. And so they're heading out to Montana, but I was just looking at this family. It was just so refreshing to hear the son and daughter, and then the parents just talking about, they all, the parents kind of cried about leaving and whatnot, but they're so happy about it because they want to just follow the Lord and whatever he has for them. I grew up in a family where we were, when you're overseas and in other cultures, it tends to unify you quite a bit in the Lord. So I've experienced that as a young person, where the Lord just was doing things through us, and we kind of operate as a unit many times and working with people. But I was just so happy to see this family, who's just sold out to the Lord. The son's got he's got a website and some podcast going. I didn't listen to any of the podcasts yet. He just mentioned it, and he's, it's kind of primarily for young people, but these guys are just quite a powerhouse. I think it's wonderful to see the Lord, have a whole family that just is serving him all together, not just part of him, And so anyway, and then another video I watched was I'm not sure what country they're from. They may be from Thailand. I'm not sure, but I didn't quite pick that up, but she was a Buddhist, and she, the Lord gave her a dream, and she completely converted from Buddhism to following Jesus. And the Lord had a dream of her meeting Torben, and that Torben told her to stop drinking, and she said it was so powerful. It was just, she stopped drinking and everything, just followed the Lord. So anyway, it's just exciting to see how the Lord is working, in all these different families and people, and just wonderful. There's nothing like seeing people come to the Lord. It's just like they were saying, it just gives you energy to see that happen.
Amen. It sure is. I saw something similar to that in West Memphis many years ago. Went in there. Group of women were in there with their kids. Y'all have heard this, probably most of you have, some of you have. Was in there with their kids. And when we walked in, we saw a little boy about three, maybe four. And he was walking like this, he had, I don't remember what they call that, club feet or something like that. Then we talked to his mama, and asked her what was wrong with him. She said, well, he's got whatever it was. And he said, well, what are you wanting to do with him? She said, well, we're going to have to go to the doctor. They're going to have to break his ankles, reset the leg, wait until it heals, break it again, reset it until it's straight and on both ankles. And I said, that's going to hurt. That's a lot of pain for that little boy. We asked her, said, do you want us to pray for him? She said, oh, please do. And we prayed for that boy, and God did that miracle, just like that boy was talking about, the crackling and the popping, and those legs came straight out, and he took off running. Mama went to yelling, screaming, just like the chief did, screaming, I mean, just glory, glory, glory. They lined up after that. We couldn't get out of there without praying for every child that was there, and Mama too. And there was mighty miracles in that family center, group center, whatever they call that place over there. And what was interesting, that boy, because that's the only way he knew how to walk, was like that, you know. A little bit later, she caught him, those toes starting to go in like that. And she went over and yanked him up, and she said, as long as your eyes is open and your skin is on you, I say something else, but she told him, she said, you walk straight like God fixed you, and don't you ever let me catch you do that again. And he took off running, straightened up. He never walked like that again. Glory to God. It was awesome. It was an awesome time. Another time I saw a 13-year-old girl, same thing. Her leg was, no, it was her arms. No, it was her legs. It was her legs. Both legs were deformed some kind of way. We was right on the banks of the Arkansas River in a little gazebo out there they had in the park. We sat her up on the banister and started praying for her. Then God did the same thing. Just straightened her legs out. We told her to get up off that banister and start walking right. And she got up off of it. But when she walked, her feet were doing this. I said, okay, get back up on the banister. We got some more praying to do. And I felt under there. And you know that tendon that holds your heel together? With the leg that comes up, you know, that prominent, it was missing. And so we commanded that tendon to come back and be attached to that heel. And my goodness, I felt that thing come in there. I started screaming. She got up off of that thing and went to walking normal. And she had an arm, and she was messed up. This poor gal was messed up. She was born like that. And she had an arm that was all gimped up. We prayed for that, and it just went out and straightened out just like that. That was probably 17 or 18 years ago. Now, last I heard about that young lady, she was serving the Lord in a mighty way, serving the Lord in a mighty way because of what he had done for her. So she was like that 17-year-old. She went out and spread it too for his God. And that's what happens when people give the love of God out to to somebody or to a community. The whole community wants it, you know. They've never seen anything like that. The church today in America is just powerless. There is no power. This group here that loves God and has faith is going to do some miracles. Not just some, a bunch. It's going to bring a lot of people into the kingdom because of it. It's going to be just, remember when they talked about Peter? Said he walked out and it was as if his shadow was healing folks. They was trying to get in under his shadow. It wasn't the shadow. It was the glory of God on him. It was God's glory that was healing folks. And the faith that they had, man, if I could just touch his garment, if I could just get on, and that's the way y'all are going to be. That's the way you're going to be. Oh my goodness, I've talked too much. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking maybe one of these times we probably should discuss that, what you talked about Wednesday. And that's part of it is taking our flesh to the cross, you know, in the sense that whenever we have people come up against us and stuff, and you know, it's allowing that self to die, you know, because you know how you flesh riles up and you want to defend self, or you want to you know, let the old man live. And that's not what God's purpose is while we're here. He wants that old man to die. And that's a tough thing, you know. I have to say that probably would be the biggest struggle I would have right now. Not that it's terrible like it was, because I knew where I came from, but still, I still see that old man inside of me, you know. He wants to live and doesn't want to die, doesn't want to be humbled or humiliated, doesn't want to take the wrong. You know, that's probably... For me, I think that's one of the toughest things about the walk would be not letting that old man live, especially when you see an opportunity where you can jump up and just, you know, let the old man come alive, and you got to put him to death. And especially if you're around somebody that's less of a you know, the worldly person that's really come up against your flesh, you know, the ones that you just does this. That's what they're there for. They're the most irritating person that you can imagine, obnoxious, like you talked about. Whatever it is that offends you the most, that person's going to be in your face, because that's what you don't like. That's your flesh hates that. Whatever it is about that situation, you just detest. But that's your time to die. You know, that I think that's probably one of the topics that I'd like to see discussed, because, and so we can, you know, learn how to take that and go to our cross. And that's a hard thing. And then love people while we're doing it, like Jesus did, to love our enemies while they're doing it, not to despise them.
Yeah. We talked about that, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, about self. But I always thought that we needed to go deeper into that. Yeah, and that's part of it, Angelica, is pride. And I want to read you something that when I read something, I generally write down some stuff in the notebook that are notable out of that book. And I think this came out of Andy's book. It says, in the life of earnest Christians, that's somebody who loves Jesus, okay? Of those who pursue and profess holiness, humility ought to be the chief mark of their uprightness. Meekness and lowliness of heart are to be the distinguishing feature of the disciple, as they were of the master. This humility is not a thing that will come of itself, but that it must be made the object of special desire and prayer and faith and practice. It's something that we have to ask God to help us with. And He will. He'll help us to get, like Dave said, get rid of self and pride. Pride, we talked about this a little bit. Self is the biggest enemy that we have, I believe. I know it has been in my life. And that's something I agree. I think we need to just open it up and dissect it.
I think that's the biggest fight we got right there. You're staring at the biggest enemy right there is yourself, that pride that doesn't want us to die.
Yeah. Julie put in 1 Peter 3:8, and I like this one. It's one of my awesome. Finally, be ye all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded. That's a good one. Malcolm, I'm sorry. I saw your hand up, but I just ignored you. But go ahead.
Well, that's fine. I just really like Ephesians. we already know this, but I remember David talking about this, David Eales, and he said, just think like this. It's already done. That yes. We don't have to struggle with the. With dying on the cross to the old man, struggling with the old man. We don't have to worry about, this great chore ahead of us. For one thing, in Romans 6, it says, reckon yourselves to be dead unto the sin, and reckon, you know, just count it done. And then Ephesians 1, there's this prayer that Paul does, and then also Colossians 1, very similar. In Ephesians 1, it says, verse 6, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And a lot of good stuff there. I'm skipping over some important stuff there. But in Colossians, it says, strengthened, this is verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, this is King James, hath made us meet or fit, you know, up to the task, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And, It's all past tense. It's a done deal. And I was just thinking, you know, sometimes in the shower, I'll think, man, I've done some miserable failures today. And I think, no, he hath made me meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. What am I worried about? I bring it to God, I confess it, make it right. And, but forgetting the things that are behind and looking forward to not what we see, Not what we see in the natural, and in other words, not what is. We look at what is not, which is actually what is. I know it's kind of illogical. We look at what is not, the way Paul says it, but that's actually what is, and that's what our faith holds on to. It's pretty exciting, and it's very relaxing, and I think that's part of what the rest is all about. But it means not ignoring what we see around us necessarily, but looking, think about the people that we're praying for, you know, how people in our families and whatnot. We see certain types of behavior that's offensive and whatnot, but it's important that we walk in faith toward those people in such a way that when we relate to them, we're relating to them in with that faith that we have toward God regarding them, and not according to what we see now. So anyway,
amen. Well, that's right. We do it all by faith. We have to walk it out, though. You have to walk that faith out. Thank you, Jesus. And that's why he tells us to cast down those vain imaginations, because things come in our mind like, well, I ain't got to take this, Lord of God, I'll come right back at him. You know, you got to cast those down and be humble. All right, anybody else? Hey, Justin. Good to see you, brother. Glad you could join us. You didn't see us raising the dead earlier, did you? You didn't make it for that, did you? Oh, man. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, I can see my life and I can feel like, you know, I don't have the press that Paul and Silas went through. Those guys in Acts 16 were thrown in prison, put in stocks and chains, put in a place that were beaten, you know, with rods. I mean, that was an affliction. That was a real affliction on their flesh. And then they're in there and they're praying and they're singing to the Lord. And the earthquake happens and they're all set free. And I'm thinking, how well would we hold up to that? You know, I mean, not that I'm denying that the Lord can't make us and pull us through those things, but the real stress, the real test, you know, if we look at our daily lives, you know, we're able to deal with some of the stresses that come around us normally because we see them quite often. But the out of the ordinary thing, when it happens, when the real test comes, you know, are we going to be able to put self on the cross like these guys did, you know, like Jesus? Are we going to be able to really take that affliction, the real affliction? I mean, they really went through a real affliction. And they let their flesh, they didn't give into their flesh. They just praised the Lord. They gave it all to the Lord. They're looking at this like this is a wonderful thing. You know, just throwing that out there.
Well, absolutely. They knew by watching Jesus go to the cross that this was part of their heritage. And they were praising God for it. And look what happened. Oh, my, that was awesome. Anybody else? I want to talk to the person that's completely matured through self. Raise your hand. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Look at Missy. Girl, I got a file on you that's two rooms big. I'm just kidding you, girl. Go ahead, Malcolm.
This is just some thoughts that actually aren't real related, but I was just thinking about Jesus. Jesus didn't defend himself very much personally. I mean, there's a lot of interaction between him and his enemies. And he wasn't wimpy at all. And he wasn't cow-cowing before the Sanhedrin, but the scribes and Pharisees and that whole crowd. But especially when it came to his cross, he still, with Pilate, he said you couldn't do anything unless the Father, you know, allowed it. But if you look at the life of Paul, there were times when he did pull rank, a couple times at least. One time was, the two times I'm thinking of is when he was being attacked by the mob in downtown Jerusalem, and they're really going, you know, trying to kill him, and the Romans show up and save the day. But then they go to torture him a little bit to try to find out what in the world was going on. And then he said, I'm a Roman. So he did pull rank there. The other time was we just mentioned when Paul and Silas were in prison, and after that whole exciting night, some folks sent a message. The guys in charge that had drummed all the stuff up the day before, and they sent a message saying, let these men go. And he said, "What? You've beaten us openly and jailed us and all this stuff, and we're Romans." And you have to come yourselves and release us. Don't just send a messenger. And Paul was aware of his, he did pull some rank, but he, and also, of course, in the Sanhedrin, he said something that he later regretted, or at least expressed it later, which is when he pitted the Pharisees against the Sadducees, because he knew them very well. There's a little trick there he did that saved the day, but that was in the an in the flesh type thing. At least that's the way I read what Paul said later when he was testifying before the kings there. So anyway, there I've just been thinking about in what place is it appropriate for us to defend ourselves and how, you know. But anyway, those are just nuances. We all have to work that out.
Well, according to what Jesus did, we don't defend ourselves in anything. What we do defend is the people of God. That's what Jesus was doing when he went in the temple, cleansed the temple. They were robbing the people of God. And not only that, they were messing up the temple. He said, this is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And he was mad about that. He was angry. And he showed him his anger by throwing him out. But as far as people coming against him, he didn't say anything. Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
We don't have to do it right now, but I was just interested in maybe talking about when there's, you know, laws or the governor makes a law, you know, may wear a mask, and when we agree with, you know, when we follow the law versus when we don't, because it's against the Bible or something, where those lines are, and I don't know, just to have a discussion about that would be helpful to me.
Amen. Well, I can answer that real quick. Would you take the vaccine if it was a law? Neither would I. But we have laws against that law that they ignore. Yeah, Phil.
Everyone, I received a
You muted yourself.
Sorry. Yep. I received an email today from work that the mask mandate's still full swing. That you have to wear a mask no matter what. But if you're vaccinated, you can take it off if you're standing, if you're sitting. But if you're standing, you got to wear it. Yeah, it's weird. So basically, there.
Let me ask you something, Phil. That doesn't make a bit of sense. If you're vaccinated, are you vaccinated or are you not vaccinated?
Well, I'm not, and that's the point.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what this crazy law that they put out on y'all. That's just silly.
Yeah. So basically, you have to wear a mask if you don't get vaccinated. And I don't do either. So if you could just pray that the Lord sends me a new job or something, or changes their hearts, or just says, hey, Theo can slide on this one. That would be great.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you hide Theo from the forces of the masks and vaccination law. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Otherwise, Lord, if it's time for him to move on, open a door. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done, brother. You're hiding out in Jesus.
Now you only have to wear a mask around your customers, basically?
Anytime, anywhere. If I'm spotted without it, I could lose my job.
I mean, even on your own personal time?
Who knows?
What do they mean by where? Just when you're on business hours, I'd assume.
who knows nowadays, you know?
It's weird because the policy isn't very clear on that. Basically, if I'm within 150 feet of somebody, I have to be wearing one. So as long as I'm alone, I could take it off, but it has to be like 150 feet or more.
I would find out if that just, they're just talking about when you're on the job, because when you're off the job and not, you know, representing the company, how can they impede on your life?
Yeah. It's all terrible.
The whole thing. I know.
Why don't they put a mask on people's rears? That'd make more sense.
I believe it. I agree.
Malcolm. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah. a lot of these companies, they're saying, got to follow the science, follow the science. Well, you can do a search and find a peer-reviewed research paper by Stanford University, and it shows that masks not only don't work, but that they compromise your health in a lot of other ways. And there was also one done in Sweden, another peer-reviewed study. There's no studies that show they work, nothing peer-reviewed, nothing that's valid, but there's several that show that masks are totally ineffective against COVID and that the masks are bad for your health. You can do a search and find that, and you know, you might want to wave it in front of management, get them to wake up.
Liberal management only listens to CNN, so I don't think they care about the studies. But I agree, I've seen them, and I'm fully aware that it's just a control.
Yeah, that's a control mechanism. Amen. I heard one expert say that wearing a mask is like trying to trap a mosquito with a chain link fence. Thought that was pretty cool. That's a good one.
Go ahead. Michael.
Go ahead, Pat. I'll get you in a minute, Sue. Hang on.
I was thinking about this. This is not a COVID thing. I mean, it's none of that, everything that's being said here, obviously related to that, is logic. And logic has nothing to do with the spirit that we're battling. The spirit of deception is there. And it's so forceful that people believe what they want to believe. And I don't think very little logic is going to change a person who is already set in defending that belief. But anyway, that isn't what I really wanted to say. I got to go back to that, the video there, and David, the boy that, stopped the evangelist there driving out, leaving. I can't say he was leaving town, but he's driving through the grass. And that example really kind of speaks to me as the need that I am in that I kind of see myself as like the disciples who studied under Jesus, who learned all these things, and learned and amassed much knowledge and a lot of thoughts about certain things, etc. And I'm going to say that the Lord has given me a mind. Again, I never read a book until I got to college. And that is literally the truth. I used to do book reports in English we'd have to give a book report, and I would read the table of contents and make up the rest. just going by the table of contents, because I hated to read. And the Lord totally changed me into a sponge for soaking up his truth. And that has happened from the very time that I got saved onward. But the problem is, I feel like I have amassed a certain strength or dependency upon the logic of God's word, and lean more heavily upon that than I do the Spirit. And it's like I see that that His word is like a railroad track, that it's the tracks that this life roll down. It's the clean, clear, straight path that allows us to move through life. But I feel myself that I am missing the locomotive that pushes that train down those tracks. And I don't, when I listen to that example of David there, he didn't have many tracks down at all. He'd listened to quite a few preaching services, but when the Spirit of God came in him, he was blazing a trail, tracks or no tracks, and the Spirit of God was overloaded in him. And I feel like I don't feel like it. I desire that in my life, to unleash God's life within me, His Spirit within me, to use whatever tracks He wants or discard them. And express His life through that overwhelming presence, His overwhelming presence in my life. And right now, I'm in between that. I have to say, yes, I desire that, and I can speak forth that like everybody else, but I still am aching for that to happen, to be set free within me. Even the example of, say, Paul and Silas when they were thrown in jail, and those guys were thrown in jail, like I said last week, you get tossed in jail back in Paul's time, you better have a good friend that knows somebody in high places to get you out of there, or somebody that's got a lot of money to pay for you, because you're going to rot in that place until you die. And they were singing praises. They were unleashed inside. They were totally free to praise God, because they were living in a place that was that old man that was in charge was dead, and they were totally free from that, and they were praising God in the midst of that opposition, and didn't see it as an opposition, but saw it as an opportunity, and God blessed them and saved the jailer, saved everybody in the jail. And so I mean, I don't want to be a complainer, but I feel like I'm ready for that. And maybe I'm not ready. Maybe there's something I'm going through. Maybe God wants to do something more, but I believe that God wants that to happen within our lives, not just me. I believe that it's a lot of us, that God wants to unleash his spirit and set his life free to function within us unhampered. And I don't want to speak something against faith, but I have to say I feel like I'm not there yet, and I want to be. So I don't know if this is more of a confession or a prayer request or everything.
Well,
I guess I'm just
no. I understand what you're saying, and there's a lot of people like that, Pat. I can tell you from my own experience from watching people when I first came into the kingdom. It's not by feelings that we do anything. It's by what the Word of God says to do. And when you step out in faith, just like you did on that leak in your sink, it's the same faith for healing somebody, for getting somebody healed, for getting somebody delivered, for getting somebody whatever the circumstance is. You just step out in faith, declare it, the tongue conquers the curse. Remember that book? You step out and you speak it, you declare it, you decree it in God's name, and it happens. And you just say, okay, it's done. And it's done. We speak it. It don't make any difference how you're feeling inside your heart or your spirit. And another thing, let me tell you something else that I found out years ago. Pray in tongues a lot. Pray in the spirit a lot. When you pray in the spirit a lot, you're building your spirit up. You're building your faith up. And I know you're getting the word a lot. That's something else too. Stay in the word. And when you do that, when you step out there and you pray for somebody, you know it's going to happen. You know it. Because you trust God to do what he says he's going to do in his word. When you trust God in that way, that you trust yourself for what job you've got, but in a better way, guess what? He said, look at my boy down there, glory to God. Let's go, boys. Let's go help him out and show him that we're here. That's what will happen. And I believe it. And I always have. I just never had a – I don't care what I feel like. I'm going to pray for somebody, and I'm going to know God's going to do it. I could have the most negative feeling in my body. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I'm going to declare it because God said. And it happens. And once you do that, just like you did, your faith was built up when that leak was fixed. And as you keep going, keep doing it, you know. And bless God, I tell you, you're going to see some mighty, mighty miracles because God wants people. He said, what was it? Let's see. Your faith's... I'm drawing a blank. But anyway... Faith, God looks at your faith and overlooks a lot of other stuff because of your faith. Does that make sense to anybody? He does. He wants your faith more than he wants anything. He wants you to trust him. Go ahead, Sue. I'm sorry I rattled on there for so long.
That's okay. I wanted to pray for Theo.
Okay.
Lord, I just lift up Theo to you, and I pray that you would guide him and lead him into what you want him to do about this situation with his job, and that he not be afraid to be bold, just be able to bring forth what you want him to bring forth and do what you want him to do, and know that you will supply his needs, whether he's at that job or whether he has to go get a different job. And also have a song for you, Theo. Be bold. Be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not ashamed, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. So take that. Amen. Yeah. Take it with you to that job and do what the Lord wants.
Amen. In
Jesus' name.
Break them chains off, brother. Amen. All right. That's right, Anna. That's the one. You're accounted righteous by faith. There's a lot of stuff that God overlooks when you have a lot of faith. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, it's Theo, right, that has a job that where they're requiring him to try to suffocate while he's working?
Yeah,
Lord, I just, first of all, I just speak freedom to him. And, but Lord, you've given him this job. You've set all the arrangements. We know that you're sovereign. And you've put him in this kind of a tight spot where you've given him lungs and a way to breathe. And then they're trying to block him from breathing properly and raise the elevation, elevate the temperature in his mouth, increase bacteria and bacteria growing on the inside of his mask and all the other nasty stuff that they're trying to impose on him. And Lord, we just stand against all that. And we proclaim the inside of his mask to be, if he has to wear it still, to be clean and sanitized, and his body will function properly. We'll have no negative effects of all that. And Lord, I know I'd be frustrated in that situation. Maybe not, it wouldn't be the right reaction, but Lord, I pray you give him peace and about what's going on, and work it all out, Lord. You've made our bodies, Lord, and we're having to go through this short time here until we get some more freedom that you have slated for us. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to say something about what I've noticed. I don't meet with other people locally, anybody, and so occasionally I'll be speaking in tongues. But what I noticed is when I'll let Timothy Dixon, I listen to some of his or watch some of his videos that where he's kneeling on a couch, he's got the camera in front of him, and then when he starts, he has his eyes closed and his head bowed, but he opens one of his eyes and peeks at the camera to make sure it's running. It's so funny. It's like he's guiltily looking at the camera to make sure it's working, but it's always just one eye. Anyway, then he starts praying and prophesying. But one thing I've noticed is that it kind of gets me back in that mode of praying in tongues and just worshiping the Lord, because that's really what he's doing there. And when I was in an assembly years ago, I remember that freedom we had. We could just pray in tongues and proclaim things and whatnot. And anyway, it's just a nice environment to. And I know we can do some of that here, but we don't do a lot of tongues here. It's just kind of because a lot of people listen to this call. But anyway, I just really like the mode it puts me in when I'm kind of praying along with him while he's prophesying. And I just miss that. I think it's so cool that I'm getting to kind of get back in that mode again of just walking around the house, lifting my hands to the Lord and worshiping him. And anyway, it's just an idea maybe for those of you who are kind of isolated.
Sometimes isolated is good, you know. Go ahead, Dean.
I just wanted to make reference to what Paul had said. Paul, that desire in your heart has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's It's beyond you, and it'll be manifested in God's timing. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. I always think of it this way. The more you're in the Spirit, the more you're going to be led by the Spirit. And that means speaking in tongues and things like that, and bitten in the word. He wants you to devour him. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
I'm so sorry. I gave the wrong name. I meant to say Pat when Pat was making reference to Paul and being in prison and giving praises and so forth. What struck me very strongly is that desire in your heart has been given to you by the Holy Spirit and will be manifested in its time. That's it.
Pat, Paul, Ryan said, Pat, Paul, same thing. Amen. Oh, my. It's been a good night. I'm glad I came on. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Yeah.
So it was mentioned in the chat that tongues and staying in the word, praying in tongues a lot, staying in the word might also be one of the things that help you kill the flesh.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Let me get rid of all this. I'm sitting here munching. It's good too. Oh my goodness. Barbecued, hot barbecue cashews. It's almost like spinach. You remember Popeye, don't you?
Do they got some of them jalapenos on it too?
Yeah, some of them jalapenos. That'd be good if it was covered in chocolate too, Greg. Okay, we're fixing to get out of here. Has anybody got a last prayer request before we do? Then I have one more prayer. I want to pray for my young friend, Isaiah. Lord, I lift up Isaiah to you. We saw what this young man did after he listened to got filled with the Holy Spirit with Reinhard Bonnke, one of his crusades. And Lord, I ask that you fill up Isaiah, not only with your Holy Spirit, but with the power that comes behind and with the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would place in him a hunger for the word like he's never experienced before, a real hunger. And Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit also put joy in his heart and forgiveness in his heart. And Lord, empower him to be that mighty man of God that I know he can be. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for helping Isaiah along with supernatural visions, supernatural dreams. And Lord, I ask that you empower him with the prophetic to show him what you want and talk to him, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing already in Isaiah. In Jesus' name. And all the young men that have come to you, Lord, I ask that you do that in all your young men. Empower them to be that mighty man of God you want. They're young enough to just soak it up like a sponge if you place it in their heart to want to, Lord. And I ask that you do that in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask it also, and I pray that you give everybody here a good night's sleep. And when they wake up in the morning, they're going to want to, that you would place in their hearts somebody to talk to, that you'd run across their path to give the gospel out. And I thank you for that, Father. And give them the wisdom and the words to say that would change their lives forever. Make us all evangelists for you, Lord. And I praise you. And Lord, place in us the faith to believe that when we do pray for somebody and command healing in their bodies, that healing has got to come. And you're going to back it up with your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it, Father. And we're going to hear testimonies next Tuesday of mighty miracles that have happened because of it. I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in all of us. And give us bold faith, great and bold faith, to step out and speak the word of God. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in every one of us to get rid of this old self. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Molding our heart into your heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?